Huh, all of the time.
You seem to do it more often now.
Welcome to episode 164 of the Uncorked Gamers. I'm Dan.
I miss having cats, man.
Aw, you miss the sneezing and the itchy eyes.
It's not every cat. It's not every cat.
Only cats with hair.
No, certain cats will not do that to me, but just gotta choose the right cat.
Dude, I saw a bald cat video. I want to say that was like the first time I saw a bald cat. I was like, that is an adorable cat.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it was all like, he's like, stretching and like, it was being cute. It was being cat cute.
My daughter's allergic too, which is another reason I don't want to have a cat. But I mean, I love Toby though. He's a dog.
Is it the older or the younger?
The youngest. She's allergic to it.
Dude. Yeah. Two allergies in one person? Sucks.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Jeff.
Right, let's get something out of the way real quick. Destiny 2. A free trial for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC has gone live November 28th.
November 28th, well, that's tomorrow.
Yep. It's going to have multiplayer and campaign missions so you can play, stuff like that.
Actually, that's today.
Yeah. I mean, is it today?
Yeah.
Oh.
Today's the 28th.
Well, there you go. So that's out. And, that, to me, speaks volume as to how Destiny's doing right now.
Not good.
Yeah, because Destiny 1 never got no free trial. Did it? I don't recall.
We got a beta and an alpha.
Yeah.
That's like a free trial.
No. Because that required you to pre-order and stuff like that.
No. Not the alpha. I know not the alpha, because I played the alpha, didn't I?
Maybe not the alpha. Maybe not the alpha. But the beta for sure.
I can't remember anymore.
Yeah, I can't remember it. But it didn't have like a demo like, here, play the first couple missions. The game's out. You know, here's a free demo. Which, you know, it just tells me that, yeah, it's true that people really are just dropping the game by the thousands.
Bungie, stop sending me emails, please. Okay, if I want to join the game, I'll join the game, alright? Just stop. Seriously. Too many, dude. Too many.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you don't check your emails, man.
I checked the last time. I had like 100 and something from one guy and then like 200 from another. I had a total of like 1,000 something emails.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I think it was a lot. Because yeah. They were all bunched up together. It was like, check the dates on them, you know what I mean?
It was like 6 years of emails. And like, they're like, just leave me alone. I need some space.
Oh, man, but...
Like five of them were happy birthday emails.
It's not my birthday today! What's wrong with you? Yeah, but it's... I don't know, I'm still thinking about buying it.
Well, now you can try it out. You can do the free trial now.
On all my systems.
On all your systems. Yeah, you could...
All two of them.
You could do that 4K PC...
Without a 4K television!
Yeah. That's gonna work. 60 frames per second. Unlocked.
I can do that.
Yeah. You see what all the hype is.
So, how long is this free weekend?
It's not... No, it's just a demo. It's not a free weekend, so it's just a trial.
Oh, it's just a straight demo.
Yeah, it's a full-on trial.
Hmm.
And, you know, anything you do will carry over if you end up buying the game.
Hmm.
That's what I'm saying, like, this speaks volumes to the state of affair of the online community for Destiny 2. Yeah?
No.
What?
No, I haven't finished it yet. Don't do this.
Stop watching it.
Demon Souls! Servers are going down.
Yeah. You can still play the game, though.
I know, but I won't have anybody to kill me when I become alive.
Yeah, you will, because I'm pretty sure the person that killed you wasn't an actual player.
Okay.
You'll still think that there are people trying to kill you. You won't have the random people trying to kill you. You also won't have messages telling you to jump off of things.
Yeah, those of them are kind of funny.
Except
people
for
are jerks.
Except for the ones in your Twitch channel.
Those guys are still jerks.
They always will be. But yeah, they're shutting them down.
Yeah.
Didn't think fans had reality. Okay. Yeah, they're shutting them down next year, February 28th. So you still have time. You can get in there. You can do this.
Oh, God, dude.
Twitch it on the Encore Gamers channel.
I wouldn't be able to finish it by then.
You can get...
With the amount of times that I die?
You could get far, though.
Perhaps.
It's one of those games, like most difficult games, you reach a hump point where you go like, oh, this game's impossible. And you reach a point where you're like, oh, no. Okay, I got this now. This makes sense to me. I've leveled my character up because it's still.
I mean, I had a hard time just getting through the first area.
Granted,
because like I always have the issue of trying to kill everything.
Yeah.
All the time, when I should be like just choosing my battles, really, especially in those games. But I don't do that. I'm I gotta kill. Everything's gotta be dead.
Including dragons.
Yeah, you can cheese those guys. At least one of them. But, yeah, it sucks. Well, I mean, like you say, you can still play the game, but so...
Yeah, just without
who the hell is sending me Twitters?
Twitters?
Oh, good.
Twitter!
Oh, good. That's some streamer guy.
No.
Saying he's streaming.
Oh, when Chuck attacks? Because Is he
the only one?
It's the only one I get.
Still?
Yeah. I don't know what settings I have to turn off and on. For some reason, I think I tried turning off settings so I wouldn't get announcements anymore because he's the only one I get. He's still come in.
I had an issue with that too, where like I shut off all notifications for it, and they were still.
But you still, they still tell you when Chuck Attack goes on.
Yeah, like it's weird. It's like, come on, I said no.
he pays an extra fee to Twitch. Like it doesn't matter.
He's a partner.
It doesn't matter if they turn it off or just keep telling them.
Just take it out of my check.
Just take it out of my check. And Square Enix, they used to own IO Interactive, which is a Hitman games. They recently talked about why they let IO Interactive keep the Hitman franchise. I thought this was actually kind of cool.
It's a major franchise to be letting go of.
Right, so this is what the guy said. Let me see who it was that they were speaking to. Yosuke Matsuda, the CEO and president of Square Enix, he said, "It's because I believe it wouldn't be Hitman unless it was Hitman made by IO." And then he added that he believed that the fans felt the same way. So these developers, they pretty much been doing the Hitman game and stuff like that. And he was like, you know what? If they don't do the game, then it's not really Hitman anymore, is it? Because there's nobody else going to deal like the way they did it and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty cool. You know,
very righteous of them.
You imagine in a world where Konami was like, hey, you know what? Kojima has to take the Metal Gear franchise because it's not Metal Gear without Kojima. That would have been the right move to make.
Yeah.
But, because I understand Konami's side of it. It's the only thing that makes money for them anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it should have been his right.
Yeah.
It should have.
I mean,
but he's a good man. He's gonna make whatever that game is.
The most expensive video game ever made because of the insane amount of star casting he has in that.
He has somebody else besides a Walking Dead guy.
He has Norman Reedus. He has Guillermo del Toro, and he has
the
villain guy who's I always forget his name because it's like a Norwegian name or something like that. I can never remember it, but he's also really big. Well-known actor and stuff like that. And those are the ones that I know about. Who knows who else is going to have popping, you know?
You know that game is that... Did that game... I can't remember the last trailer, but was it a first person?
Dude, we have not seen gameplay.
Wasn't there?
No.
It was all CG animation?
Dude, do you have like a cut on your lip?
No. Do I?
On the other side. No, it's just you... part of your mustache just got like all clumped together at one point, just being like this really thick black line. And I was like, did you cut your lip at some point? And I just noticed it barely. Yeah, you gotta get
some. Not hurting.
You gotta get some wax in that, man. You know, just gotta.
Nah, I'm shaving it after November. It's just a November thing.
You don't like it?
I don't know.
You really don't like it? Just like, no.
I'm thinking about just letting it go. You know, just everything, just.
Yeah, I mean, you.
Explosion of beard.
You work in the food industry, it doesn't matter.
I have to wear beard nets now. You know how annoying that is? That's super annoying, dude. I hate it. They're itchy.
They're like the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life. Like, I understand it, but they look so dumb.
And I swear to God, dude, their holes are, like, way bigger than they should be.
Right?
Yeah. Like, the hair nets are, like, they're, like, I mean, it's just, like, just a thin layer of whatever the hell is made out of.
I'm not gonna lie, half the time it looks like a hairnet somebody just wrapped around their chin.
That's pretty much what it is, dude.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't even know it was like a specialized thing. I thought it literally was a hairnet that you had to put one around your chin when you had facial hair.
Yeah, well, I hate it. And everybody hates a beardnet, dude. They're uncomfortable.
People make fun of you now?
Now you mentioned, no, you're wearing a beardnet now? I was like, QA told me to. Because I wasn't wearing one. I mean, I wasn't going into production areas, but you still got to wear one like in the warehouse and stuff like that.
Mm.
Which not everybody does, by the way. There's a select few that got talked to, but other people, they're okay, yes, apparently. I don't care, dude.
Tell me about it. Jeff's Corner!
Racism, man. It's all over the place, let me tell you. So, I was talking to somebody today from an undisclosed place in the land far away.
All right, in the land far Asia?
Not that far. All right. A little more closer to home. Actually, home far away, but yeah.
Far away?
Far away home.
It's like a dog?
It's like
a dog trying to find his family.
And there was so we were talking about you know, work.
Right.
And there was a period, there was a point where this girl came up to us and asked a question. And the guy I was talking to was like, oh, I'm so-and-so. What's your name? And she said, well, I'm so-and-so. Right? In a Spanish accent.
Okay.
So, there's a little talk, you know, then she goes away. And then he asked me, what was her name again? And I was like, oh, it's this. Or, if you want to pronounce it correctly, it's this. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, no, I'm not going to try that. I was like, you know, because it was a Spanish name, right?
Right.
And so I gave him the correct pronunciation, and he's like, oh, I'm not going to do that. So.
A little bit more clearly for the people at home.
You're not going to do that. And so, it's Tanuki. Raccoon dog.
Raccoon dog.
So we started talking about, Mexican population in where he is. And I was like, I can't imagine there's a lot of Mexicans there. You know, it seems like just like a really white place to me.
It doesn't have to be Mexicans. It could be Puerto Ricans or Colombians or Venezuelans.
Nobody knows the difference, dude.
It's true.
Nobody knows. I know the difference because of different accents. But white peoples? They do not know, dude. They don't know. They're all Mexicans if you're in California.
Yeah.
They're all Cubans if you're in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're all Puerto Ricans if you're in New York?
I think New York, yeah.
I think, right?
Maybe Florida, too, maybe.
I think Florida also, yeah. 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 But, so he's like, oh, you know, no, it's, we have more, black people.
He whispered it like
and
that?
And I was like, oh, he lowered his voice? He didn't whisper it?
He, like, looked around real quick. But he lowered his voice.
And I was like, oh my God, did you really just do that? That makes you look even more racist. Oh my god, I'm gonna get fired. I'm gonna get so fired. But anyway, who cares? So, and I was like, and I was like, oh really? I couldn't. Oh god, I almost said the name of the state too. And I was like, there really? And he's like, yeah. Well, we have this city, and that city makes sense.
That large city makes sense.
Black population in that city, and it made total sense. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. He's like, yeah, a lot of people from this city come to work at our place. And I was like, oh, so it's just basically the same amount of population that we have Mexicans, you have black people. And he's like, yeah. And he was like, he was scared. He was scared to mention the word black as a black guy walked past. We have like three black guys now at work. You know how hard it is to see a black man in Watsonville?
No, I know.
It is very difficult.
I mean, Gail laughed at me when we were like in the shopping. This was like a couple years ago. We were shopping, so they're putting grocery with it, and like I saw this family, you know, putting their grocery with it. I was like, Gail, there's an entire black family here. And she was like, yeah, so what? I was like, no, you'll understand. You're lucky if you see one.
Yeah. One. You always see that same guy, though, walking down the street. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I see that same guy.
And it's not like being, like, racist. Like, oh, my.
No, there's like, no black people here.
Yeah.
It has just occurred to me that my small hometown is more diverse than Watsonville.
But there's no Mexicans there.
Yes, there is.
This town is, like, 80% Mexican. Just so you guys know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's, like, maybe seeing like five different black people in this town, like total, over the lifespan of my, me living here.
Yeah, and you come from Santa Cruz, which is much more diverse.
Life, yeah.
Yeah.
And
so I mean, you can.
Yeah, you got a lot of different people in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, but you can definitely compare. You can objectionably stand apart from not, because I grew up in Watsonville and stuff like that, but you didn't. So you can be like, yeah, no, there is a very short. There's a shortage of the African population in this town.
African or African American?
African American, yeah.
Or black? Is it okay to be non-PC now? Like, is that?
I don't know. Like, it's so hard to say anything these days.
Yeah, because everybody will misconstrue it, no matter what. There'll always be somebody to misconstrue it.
I think the part of the problem is everybody wants you to just immediately alter the way you talk because it's not acceptable anymore.
That's racism in itself.
It's like, but I spent like an entire, like, 30 some odd years speaking in a very specific way, and now I have to relearn it. Give me some time.
I refuse to relearn it. I refuse to learn it. Asian American? What's an Asian American?
San Jose. Oh.
And they all go to Bay 101. On Tuesdays.
What the hell's Bay 101?
It's a gambling site. Cards.
Oh, like website?
Like poker. No, it's a place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like a poker palace or something. Gambling. Anyway, all the Asians are there. Bay 101.
Well.
Yeah. They love gambling, dude. They love gambling. Okay, I work with this Filipino kid, right? And we play this game where we throw quarters up against the wall from a certain distance.
Right.
And a person who gets the closest takes all the quarters.
Okay.
And we just keep going, right?
Yeah.
We just keep going. That guy was either insanely good at the game, like got really good really fast, or he had been playing for a long time and taking people's quarters since like grade school. So, and they all love gambling, dude. In any form or fashion, dude. Asians are gamblers.
I will give you credit that they have an entire gambling system revolving around a steel ball bouncing through little pegs.
Pachinko machines?
Yes, pachinko machines. And that is a multi-million dollar business.
Yeah, they even made a version of it on The Price is Right. It's called Plinko.
Plinko. Peggle. That's what Peggle is.
Yeah.
As far as I actually have not played the game. I could be wrong. But everything I've seen of that game is pachinko. So continue was that the end of your tale, or you got more?
I don't even remember what I ended with, but
You ended with, as a black guy, walk past.
So, I feel like he was scared to say the word black because he saw a few black people at work. And
I can
understand. And like it's a white fear.
I can also I would give him a benefit of doubt is that he's coming from a state where he understands the political norms, coming to California, which is viewed as this very
much
like
more liberal.
Very extreme left wing liberal like state, right? So maybe he's concerned that he's going to get like ostracized in California.
You know what the funny thing is? In the conversation, I even started talking about me smoking pot back in the day.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I could see the look on his face. It was like, is this guy really telling me this right now? You know, like that look. And I kept going, dude. I was just like, dude, this is California, dude. Everybody smokes pot here, bro.
Not true.
Nah, bruh. 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 Everybody smokes pot, bro.
I don't smoke pot.
When I mean everybody, I don't mean everybody.
I'm like one of five people that doesn't smoke pot.
Yeah. One out of 10 people
does not smoke pot. No. That number is not right. It's one out of every 25 people does not smoke pot.
Oh, God. That's still not a lot of people that don't smoke pot.
I'm just saying, I've worked in the entire warehouse.
And everybody smoked pot.
It got to the point where somebody came by and was like, and they're like, oh, yeah, I don't smoke weed. Or I was running across the warehouse. I'd hear that across the warehouse, run across and be like, me neither. Hi. Nice to meet you.
We have a gong at work where we announce like major wins and stuff like that. I could just imagine you like, you know, working there and like you hear someone say, you know, hey, I don't smoke pot. You should run up to the gong.
Dun, 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 dun.
There's somebody else that doesn't smoke pot in the warehouse. There's another person.
I'm not alone.
We started talking about pot and like and myself and I was and I told because we went into vices basically, and you know I told him I had quit smoking. And I have the occasional cigarettes, but overall I don't smoke every day anymore. You know it's hardly every day, and you know and then it moved into the pot thing, and then I told him, you know, like, I quit that, like, 5 years ago or something like that. It's like, I don't really smoke pot. I've had, like, and I told him, you know, I still take edibles every now and then. To help me fall asleep sometimes. I just can't sleep, you know, so I'll take an edible just to fall asleep. And, but it's like, I don't smoke socially anymore, you know, nothing like that. And he was, and I think he didn't want to hear any of that, you know what I mean? But I was just too free with it.
Yeah.
Apparently.
And he knows all the... All the
Ohio's different. Getting so fired.
I was gonna say he knows all the things that should or should not be spoken of to the ears of people that may or may not need to report things. But
well,
that's where
they
they
recently passed, I think last year maybe, they passed a law making medical marijuana legal in Ohio. So that's the extent of, you know, of that there. But here, there's a law that passed that legalizes marijuana, 100%.
Yep.
And so there's a bunch of places that are already starting growing marijuana. They're even cultivating at this point.
Yeah.
And there's one actually next door to our place that's going to start growing marijuana. Right across the road.
You know, I only have one hope in all this. Is that when I smell marijuana on the streets, that it will no longer be skunk. Because people will be able to afford better quality stuff.
I swear to God, out of all my years smoking marijuana, I have never smelled anything similar to a skunk. Even though people say, yeah, it smells like skunk. And I was like, no, it doesn't.
Stoners say it smells like skunk.
Why? I don't get that.
It's called skunk weed for a reason.
But I don't smell that. I don't smell that. Not even close to that.
Dude, you have not walked around downtown Santa Cruz long enough. Well, since the Lost Pass, I'll give you that. Since the Lost Pass, because, man, the other day, walking down, there was some straight up skunk coming out of a pipe. Somebody was smoking.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I had a better quality pot life.
I mean, I would say skunk, like fresh spray skunk, but that skunk smell that's left over on the street where it's kind of like, did somebody burn rubber here, or was there a skunk in the area? Mm-hmm. That level. Yeah. It's not like, oh man, a skunk just sprayed my foot. It's, there's, a skunk may have been in the area in the last couple hours.
So I was walking my dog around the apartment complex, right?
And he ran into some
there was a damn skunk in the complex. Inside the complex.
That's good.
Time to take my pill.
That's good, though, dude.
No, that's not good.
They eat mice.
And rats.
They're carnivores?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought they were omnivores.
Omnivores. But yeah, they eat like mice and rats. So, like,
oh, that's cool.
They get pest control.
Scorpions.
Never really thought about like actually looking into that, actually.
Yeah, possums are really good, too. And actually,
possums got the teeth. Like, they've got killer teeth, yeah.
Yeah, they're actually, they're also really good because they eat insects and stuff like that. And apparently, they have like a 90% resistance to rabies.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, there's no rabies epidemics around here. Not that I've heard of.
Well, it's because people do a good job of vaccinating their animals.
So, and this is as I'm going home, and it walks, this is like at 1 in the morning, 1:30 in the morning, something like that. I ended up falling asleep, so I didn't take Toby out on time.
Yeah.
And I woke up, and I was like, oh my god, I gotta take him out or else he's gonna poop here. So I took him out. And as I, you know, I'm heading back in, and I see the skunk just walking by in front of me, and I was like, oh my god.
Oh my god.
Froze, dude.
Becky, look
froze.
At that stripe.
I did not even want to let that guy know that there was somebody moving over here. He was like, I don't know, he was like at least 20 feet away. But, you know, not dangerous close, but he walked by, and then I saw him go into our parking lot and go underneath the car and never saw him come out. Right? So then my wife gets up really early in the morning to go to work. She starts work at 4 in the morning. And I told her, when you go out, press the alarm key a bunch of times and make sure there's no skunk around there because I just saw a skunk go into the parking lot. And, yeah, nothing happened, of course, but it's scary, dude. This is the second time I've gotten close to a skunk. Without, yeah, I don't know, dude. They scare easily. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like watching skunks walk. They look funny when they walk. They like
scary?
They like waddle.
It's scary to think about them spraying you.
They got reach. Really. They got reach on that spray, too.
They do got reach.
You don't have to worry about them unless they start doing handstands.
Well, mine did. Not this one. The first encounter did.
Oh, did a handstand on you?
Well, I don't know if he did it. No. Into a handstand, but he turned around and raced his tail.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good warning sign right there.
And I ran that time. And I knew, like, he could still spray me even if I did start running. Because I'm not going to run faster than he can spray.
Serpentine, dude. You got a serpentine.
That's, like, energy, bro. Have you seen me? I can't do that. I run a straight line, man. Shortest distance possible.
You've been doing taekwondo.
I get tired after. Not then, I didn't. Get tired after 5 meters, bro. Skunks are scary, man. They shoot you with their butts.
But they waddle when they walk. It's adorable.
Yeah, and then they turn around and raise their tails. That's not adorable at all. Yeah, it's. I couldn't imagine what I would do if I got sprayed, dude. I mean, I wouldn't want to go home, because then the smell would penetrate.
Yeah.
And then the car, too. The car especially, man. Oh, my God. I don't even know what I would do. It's a scary situation.
Well, I mean, you would jump in like a tomato soup bath and...
You know, they say that. I don't know if that's really true, though.
It's the acids that help break down
Then soda.
That's just bad for you, though.
How is it bad for you?
Because, I mean, it's a...
That's a strong acid, bro.
Yeah, it's strong enough that in its concentrated form, like, if you get it on you, you have to get, like, a chemical hazmat bath and stuff like that.
What? No.
Yeah, they have warning labels. Do not get this on your skin.
Where's the warning label?
On the actual purified syrup that they mix into the
soda. The syrup, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not, like, a can, like, dump a bunch of 2-liter bottles in that bathtub.
Maybe. I mean, you ever seen them, like, you know, dip, like, metal into, you know, soda for, like, a day?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not metal no more.
It's nice. Yeah, it's a nice cleaner, dude. Cleans it all off.
If it's still there.
Turns it into liquid. Yeah. Yeah, but you'll be fine, though. Skin's a lot more resilient than metal.
Yeah, it's stronger.
You know.
Built to last. Durable.
But anyway, yeah, that's my skunk story. Didn't even know I had a skunk story today.
Let's talk about
Cyber Monday. Okay.
All right, Cyber Monday.
So I ended up actually buying something.
What'd you buy?
I bought two things for $58 total.
All right, so the price of one game, you got
The Evil Within 2.
Ah, you're streaming that?
I'm going to be, yeah.
PC or PS4?
Oh, PS4.
Okay.
I gotta give the PS4 some love now, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the PC is nice and all, but, you know, switch it up.
Right.
Switch it up. Do something else. So, I really want to play that game. Like, really bad.
So, play it.
Yeah. I gotta wait for it to arrive first.
Oh, physical. Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. I told you already.
Right.
And then, I had the downloadable version, but I was just like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like,
You'll wait to 2 days.
Yeah, it was 2 days, yeah, free shipping. I got the Prime.
Got that Prime.
Got that Prime, bruh. So, and then the other one was Wolfenstein 2. The New Colossus.
Did you play Wolfenstein 1?
No, but that's a really old game.
But they re-released it for the PS4. They did a combo remake? Pack of the game and the DLC. Maybe not physical, but digitally at the very least.
I can try it.
Yeah. It was on sale kind of cheap, actually. I almost picked it up.
That's something I would probably get on Steam.
Why?
Why not?
Why not get Evil Within 2 and Wolfenstein 2 on Steam?
Because they're not old games. They're new games.
This makes no sense.
It makes sense in my head.
All right.
That's why I got the Doom trilogy on PC.
Well, that makes sense, because that Doom was the birthplace. Well, I guess PC was the birthplace. No, you're splitting up the Wolfenstein, though. It doesn't make sense anymore. The Doom's all in one place still.
Doom 3 was the... I think it only came out on Xbox and PC.
Maybe, yeah. I don't remember seeing anything for the PS... the BFG, I think, came out on PlayStation. The BFG edition.
That's, like, way later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still remember. So, I ended up buying another copy because I have the discs. But the thing was, like, it was, like, $7 for all of it, so, with all the DLC, so... It was a hell of a good deal.
Yeah.
And I was like, $7, dude, I don't mind paying for this game again.
That's not bad, yeah.
I don't have to install anything on my computer. Well, actually, I do have to install something on my computer. I don't have to install three discs on my computer.
I was scared you didn't understand how computers actually work.
Because it was a three-disc game that I had to install individually. And then I had to put, like, a product code in it. And if you don't have the product code in it, you know, you got to scramble to look for that case, because I didn't. Couldn't find a piece of paper that had the code on there, so I couldn't play the game for a while. And then I ended up replaying it and then stopped like within like four levels.
So you were finally going to beat it?
Yeah, that was the time, but I didn't even get that far. But now I have it on the PC, so it'll just be easier to open up Steam and just play it.
Or, you know, just see that it's in your library and play something else.
I know, dude. Oh, God, don't remind me. I keep buying games. That's what I'm good at, buying games.
It's alright, you're going to beat the Evil Within 2 like you did.
Not good at playing games, remember?
Don't hold your breath.
It'll take me like 3 months to beat that game. 2 hours a day, 1 day a week.
You do Tuesdays.
Tuesdays?
No, you can't do Tuesdays.
Isn't today Tuesday?
You could do Saturdays.
I can do Saturdays.
And Sundays.
And Sundays. And Mondays.
Unless we're playing a game at somebody's house.
Then I can't do it.
Right. But you can do 3 of the 4 days of the week.
Yeah. So it'll take me a month and a half.
There you go. Look at that beauty.
Whoa. Is that a hiccup?
Probably.
I think your cat hiccuped on me.
Yeah.
I put my finger under his foot.
So you can get yourself sick.
Because it's cool. Their pads feel really cool.
Yeah. I like grabbing them. Yeah. Spread their toes.
Right? Out. Yeah. It's all about it.
Just like passing out. It's like a gargoyle right now.
The best thing about cats is their pads.
Pads.
The pads.
Aww. Is that all that caught your eye on Cyber Monday?
No, there's a lot more. $40 controllers would have been. I wanted to get a new controller because the other one that I have, like the it's working. It just feels weird now.
The left stick? Is it the left stick?
I don't know. It's one of the sticks.
Yeah.
But it's just like, and I wanted to get another controller, and it's $40. They were $40 at least, you know. But I was like, I'd rather have the games than the controller.
Makes it, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, those are both like one player games anyway. So, I mean, I don't need a second controller. And I hope that, oh, the only thing I hate about the, so I linked it with my PC, right? The PS4 controller. Works wonderfully, by the way. Like, it's awesome. Like, right, my computer has Bluetooth. So, like, it works through, you know, without actually having to connect anything.
Oh, without a dongle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
That's cool, yeah.
And then, but I have to reconnect to the PlayStation 4 every time I want to use it on PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
With the cable.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not that much work, but it's just annoying.
Yes, yeah. I mean, whenever I use it on my computer, I just connect it with the cable, then you don't have to resync it.
Yeah.
But I know you like to play it on your big screen.
I don't have a cable long enough to really use it.
You don't have another USB-C?
Not that... That's long. That...
What about your phone one? Or is that that's proprietary, isn't it?
No, it still works.
Oh, what?
Yeah, maybe. But it's not long enough. From my computer to my couch?
Well, not to your couch, but like,
you know. Well, I sit in front of the couch in front of the TV.
Well, sometimes you sit on your computer desk.
And yeah, but sometimes that screen is a little small.
No, I mean, sometimes you sit on a computer desk while playing on your TV.
No.
I've seen you.
Maybe.
Most 12-year-old.
Oh my god.
Should we talk about Kickstarter?
Yes.
Alright. So we got an email from a man named James. And he wanted us to check out his game on Kickstarter. This game's called Spin Mortality. It's a cyberpunk strategy game.
Turn-based management.
Right. So, he's got a playable demo and stuff, a playable build that got on the Kickstarter he pointed us to and stuff like that. So, we each took our time and checked it out. We want to give some time to talk about it. The Kickstarter is still live. It's got 14 days left to go. It's about halfway there, right? It's in U.S. dollars, wants $11,850 approximately, and he's at $6,243. If you want to back the game, you can get a digital copy. The lowest thing, right, is about... $13 American. $12 American, I think it says. Because it's a UK, it's all in pounds. But the Kickstarter gives you like a little conversion thing.
Oh, they opted out of the Euros, right? At some point?
Dude, I don't even know. I
Wasn't England using Euros at one point?
Yeah, I think so. I can barely keep track of my own politics here in the States. I'm not gonna try. But, so we checked it out. Now, first of all, I just want to give some comparisons so people kind of understand what type of game. If they're not familiar, what we mean. When we talk about a simulation,
turn-based strategy management game.
Yeah, management simulation type of game, stuff like that. So games that I can compare it to, and this isn't exactly, like, straight comparisons, but you get the idea, would be, Safe House Diaries... Long Live the Queen, Plague Inc. I think Plague Inc. would probably be the biggest comparison as far as I think what most people would be familiar with and also kind of like slightly the aesthetic.
I don't feel like strategy games are very popular, but that might be just me not playing a lot of strategy games. But I think overall it doesn't seem to be very popular. You don't see too much of it on Twitch, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, game popularity-wise, like, I think Twitch is a good, it's a good place to see what's trending.
I would disagree. I think Twitch is a good place to see what's trending on a game that has visuals. These type of games aren't like huge visual games, right? You don't have a guy jumping on screen that you can follow.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to jump for the longest time, dude. I don't know which button to press.
No, you just click with the mouse, man.
But the whole game. I thought J was jump, and it wasn't doing anything.
No, you're on the PC, dude. It's always space.
Damn.
Unless you reprogram it to be a button.
Oh, God. Now there's that.
But this game, I will, in a nutshell, give you my experience with this game. I sat down to play it. So I told Jeffrey, I was, hey, download this, check it out so we can talk about it on the podcast. So I sat down and played, check out the demo and stuff like that. You know, thinking like, all right, I'm going to sit down, play for like half an hour or something like that, get a good feel for the game. And then Gail came in. She's like, hey, we got to go. And I was like, go? Like, where? And I looked at the clock. It was 5 hours later.
Nice.
I lost like 5 hours out of my day.
You didn't lose anything. You played a great game.
I played a great enthralling game. A game that I was winning, and it made me feel good. Because, I mean, this genre of game, I will say, tends to be, like, unforgivingly difficult. So I don't know if it's that I just happen to do, like, dumb luck really well in this game, or, because they have random elements, so each time you play, it's going to be different. Or if maybe this build doesn't have the full gamut of things that are going to get in your way, you know?
Well, let's talk about what the game is.
Yeah.
So this game is basically, you run a company. You start out with, like, you know, 5 employees that you can assign to different...
temps, I think, too.
Yeah, you have temps and you know, company-hired employees that can work on different researching technologies and such.
Yeah, there's a research tree that you have people research, and that's both your end game stuff and also, like, not end game stuff, but that's kind of like you use that to get needs that you need, but also that's your product that you sell to the world.
Yeah, and you have to market that to different parts of the world, and you need to know which parts of the world are going to receive that well, or you know, at least make a really good educated guess of, like, because, you know, it might not be strong depending on the different variables, you know, in a certain country, but you might want to risk it anyway and just see, like, maybe it will hit, you know. But and it's you know, so you set the different amount of employees on the research, and the more employees you set on one particular item, the faster you'll get results out of it, and the employees themselves will actually give you ideas if you leave them on a completed task.
Yeah, so there's, like, 6 different, like, pitches.
Yeah.
And so you have them research the whatever it is, and then you have them research pitches, and each of the pitches will hit different, there's, like, 10 to 12 different, like, things that are each country is responding to, like, on a sliding scale, right? So it's, like, one side could be individualism, and the other side could be collectivism. Like, is, you know, is the populace individualistic or collected and stuff like that? And each, there's multiple different scales that each country has, like, you know, that slide back and forth throughout the game. And some certain pitches will appeal to certain, like, sets of scales.
Mm-hmm. And so you end up doing these pitches around the world, and, you know, it costs money to send the pitches. It costs money to, you can actually hire more employees as you go. It costs money to do that. The like the temps would the temps are cheaper, and but they don't work as fast as the company hired employees.
And they'll quit quickly.
Yeah,
they won't stick around.
They can just quit on the go and, like, you know, and you also have a like news newsletters. I got a flyer saying what was it? North Africa is all about genetics now, you know. And I was like, oh, cool, dude! I hit it big right here, dude. You know what I mean? I pitched them some genetics there, and they got me a flyer that it's like it's all the latest rage there now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And I was like, that was a really cool moment, you know. And but the game itself is it's very enticing. You know, like at first, you know, I was just like, eh, it's a strategy game. I don't play strategy games, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got home around 8:30 p.m. and I started playing it, and I figured I'd play for a half hour and then, you know, head over here to do the podcast. But Vegan told me he was out shopping at the time, so I was like, okay, I'll play a little more. So when Vegan told me that he was, you know, hey, I'm heading home now. And I sent him a text saying, hey, okay, I'll be right there. And I kept playing again. I was like, all right, I'm going to play a couple more turns. Then a couple more turns sent to a couple more turns.
That happened to me.
I didn't take 5 hours because I couldn't.
Yeah, but I was like, all right, I'm gonna stop this and, you know, take care of stuff around the house. Let me just hit this enter thing, and it's like, oh, what happened? Oh, this was successful? Okay. Well, let me just spend this cash real quick.
On the other hand, was not making a lot of cash at first. I was making very stupid decisions, like buying all the shares that I could in a whole lot of different countries to affect, you know, my political influence, and started running out of money really quick. But I figured, like, whatever, you know. And then I ended up being in the red, about $11 million, and so I couldn't do anything anymore. I figured, like, oh, if I just click on this, it'll just put me more into debt. It'll be fine. You know? Because then I'll start gaining money, right? But it wouldn't let me do anything. It's like, you owe money. You don't have money to spend. So I had to borrow $100 million because $10 million wasn't going to be enough. And I had to borrow $100 million. I still haven't paid that, by the way. It's just collecting interest. It's collecting a lot of interest. But I'm averaging about $60 million per turn now. So, it's still not enough to really get me out of debt, because I still owe $100 million. If I gave that, I'd be in the red for $40 million still.
Right.
So I can't pay it off yet.
But you're getting there.
But I'm getting there, dude, and it's becoming really cool. You know, I'm starting to get more research stuff going. You know, and it's just like it's actually pretty fun.
Yeah, and I think this game. It's like I said, like, a lot of these games tend to be very difficult and stuff like that. And I feel that it's because these games, you have to hit the ground running knowing everything about the game, how the game works, stuff like that. And your first couple of times, it doesn't work. But I feel like this game, at least this build of it, is a lot better of, like, alright, here's some stuff you can do at the beginning. And then you're like, okay, yeah, I got a handle on this. And then you figure out, like, oh, wait a second. So if I do this, oh, wait a second. Okay, so I can control the influence a little bit. Like, oh wait, I can get shares in a party, the ruling party of the country, and then kind of have them change a law for me. Wait. So there's a type of government. Dude. There's a type of government that the entire country is a business, and I can buy shares and become the ruling party. My business can become a ruling party of a country, and I could just change the laws. Okay, hold up. Well, hold up a second.
I got a letter saying that one of the ingredients that we use in one of our products was becoming scarce, and it was only available in a certain area where we couldn't really do anything about it, right?
Right.
So my options were, you can't really do anything about it, and take it over by any means necessary.
Yeah.
Guess what I chose?
Take it over by any
means necessary. Oh, yeah, dude. I'm going to kill some people, dude.
But then you lose public opinion, though.
I don't give a crap.
That's like 20% loss right there.
No, dude. Because then you can fix that.
You can bribe. You can,
you can fix you can, everything, dude.
You can pay off the media. Everything as long as money.
You're making money. I kept buying. I bought too many shares, dude. I spent too much money on shares, and I also there's certain laws that will also stop you from pitching something in that country.
Yeah.
Because
you know, it's a sanction.
So it requests that, you know, that you, if you want to buy shares into the political system to, you know, create a bigger influence
to bribe the government, to
lawmakers. Yeah. So I did that a few times. And at that point, I was only buying like a couple shares at a time, you know. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just to get not enough to get into debt anymore.
It was nice, too, because it's you buy the share to be able to start the process of getting the law change. And you can buy more shares to... Because it's like, all right, on this turn, it has a 5% chance that the law's going to go through. You can buy more shares to kind of boost that.
Yeah.
But once you start the process, it'll always go up every turn. So eventually that law will get changed to how fast you want it to happen. And they even put a limit on that. You can only bribe for like a law, I think. You can only do it like 3 times. You can add to the percentage. But it's still like, it goes from like 5% to like 20%. Like, in one turn if you wanted to.
20% is pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But yeah, no, like, I am the majority owner of America in my game. So
you play for 5 hours.
Dude. I play for Jesus 5 hours. Christ. So I want to go in and change the law in America. I go in and I change it.
America is the hardest person to pitch to, by the way.
That was like my easiest one, dude.
What? I've been having nothing but trouble with Americans.
I got like 10 five-star products
in America. Stupid Americans, man.
Well, you got to get your media shares up.
Man, I'm
so you can adjust the
sliders. They're rejected. Even stuff that was supposed to be, that should have been strong, or at least like, pretty strong. All of it failed, dude. Every single time.
Well, are you spending your class influence to be able to see exactly what?
Yeah. I'm trying to match it up, dude.
I think one thing to take note is it gives you the suggestions of what works for it. But I think the one that's big and bold is the main one.
Yeah, the French people were right, man. Stupid Americans.
No, for me, you know which one was the hardest one for me? The Middle East.
I actually did pretty good in the Middle East.
Barely get anything going on in the
Middle East. Everything was successful for mine in the Middle East. Some of them I took a loss, though.
Yeah.
But it was all at least a little bit successful. Yeah. I think I ended up... I didn't take enough loss to make it a complete negative, but, you know. The easiest for me was South America. I had a really easy time in South America, pinch of South America, and North Africa.
North Africa
and South America.
I think that South Africa was not bad, and North America was good for me. South America and North Africa were all right. I didn't have too much problem. China and Middle East are the hardest countries for me.
I don't even remember Australia.
Australia's not too bad for me. Pretty decent, I would say, actually.
And apparently I can't choose Antarctica.
Yeah, I tried too. I tried that too.
It's on the map! It's on the map. Why can't I choose it? There's got to be at least 2 people to live there.
So there, what's happened to me, I have a rival corporation that's trying to buy me, that's trying to do a hostile
takeover. Didn't happen to me.
It was like probably 3 or 4 hours, I guess, that happened. Every once in a while, because you get those things that happen, like, there's a certain thing you have to take care of every day before you get into the turn. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, it's just random choices. Like, the one Jeff was talking about is like, hey, this resource is scarce. What do you want to do about it? And you have to choose. You can't just ignore that. You have to make a choice. And there's certain things, there's one each day of some random thing that'll pop up. And sometimes for me, it's a corporation. It's like, all right, this corporation... You either let nothing happen, and they will get 5% threat, and then once you reach a certain level of threat, they can start taking over your company. Or you can do stuff if you have the resources, and, you know, maybe you'll lose some population, some employees, or maybe you'll gain some employees, but you'll give them vulnerability. And so, I haven't had anything to happen, because every time this popped up, I've had just enough of resources of people, because you have three people resources. There's a military... class and cybersecurity people. And I've had just enough of each of those people, and that whenever that popped up, I was like, "All right, spend the money, and make this company look bad." So I'm gonna buy them out.
I was also buying all the little companies that popped up until I was like, okay, I need to gain some money, so I just ended up like, you know, selling them basically because.
Oh, gutting the edge.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, you gain political influence when you buy them.
Yeah.
And that's nice, but I just played too stupid at first, so to keep doing that, you know what I mean?
And this game is so well complex, but balanced for like an everyday layman. So there's detailed three steps and goals, right? And only the last step really matter for the completion of the game. But it's done in a smart way where it's like, it's your company's goals, where it's like, hey, do this. And you do that, they're like, all right, cool. You know, here's some extra bonus. And, you know, this is pretty much, if you do these simple, like, company goals, you're going to be playing the game right. And then there's the middle tier, which is like a, hey, these are things that are going to help you out. Each goal helps you out in the game. So it's like, you know, I forget what they're called. It's like, you know, global police or something like that. And it's like, all right, you get global police, you're going to be able to do, like, espionage missions. So you can, like, you know, steal information from other companies and stuff like that. And like, all right, cool. And also, when you do that, you're also giving yourself a victory point, which you need to win the game, and also affecting getting one of the things you need for one of the four victory conditions to actually beat the game. So it's smart. It's like Plague Inc. You just take over the world. That's all you have to, it's only one victory condition. But like Civilization, which that it feels more like Civilization at that point, where you can do a complete corporate takeover. And you can go on a completely different spectrum where you can, it's called like leaving the world a better place than you found it basically, where you can make every, and these are actually kind of complicated because not only do you have to hit certain things, you actually have to affect the democratic style of each country to fit the condition for whatever your win condition is. Mm-hmm. So like to leave the better place, you have to, every country, you have to change, you have to send every country into chaos so that you can reform it as a democracy, right? Because that's how you change the political climate, is you send it into chaos, so that when they rebuild it, you can, you know, bribe them into changing it into whatever you want it to be, essentially. So you have to send them into chaos to make them a democracy. You have to there's all kinds of, you have to do the middle goals, the right ones, you know, which are like, you know, make sure no company can own 50% of a country, you know, like all these nice ones. You know, companies have to pay fair wages, and you know, have to have equal numbers of robot employees as regular employees. You know, all these different things you can do. Which again, it's a harder way to play the game because it's not making you the most money doing that. No, it's not giving you the most control to do that. But it's just. It's a lot of replayability. It gives you your own built-in like challenge level and stuff like that. And I love how every choice kind of just affects it. Because I got like a couple robot employees. I was like, oh, this is cool. Robot employees, they research things pretty quick. They're not great for coming out with the
ideas.
Yeah, the
pitches.
But they're really good at researching the actual thing. And then I started getting like, oh yeah. You're losing your employees aren't happy, and people don't like that you have so many like robot employees. I'm like, damn it.
Fire them all. Get all robots.
I just need
Fire people, by the way. You really can't fire people.
Yeah, so. You really can't fire people. But they leave so fast. Like none of my all my human employees are like, they stay for like 2 days and like, nah, I hate this place. I'm like, whatever.
That's bad management, bro.
I'll just get more mutants.
See, because you're all about the bottom line. Money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not about your employees, bro. You don't take care of your employees. That's your problem.
Yeah, that is my problem. But there is one more layer of this game that we haven't even touched on. Your guy...
is gonna die.
Is gonna die. He has a mortal lifespan. But you can prevent that if you go down a certain tree of technology... You can get to a point where you can just replace your brain to a new body. You have to get there first, but,
yeah.
It only costs $1,000 to do it, and then you can live forever.
From what I remember seeing, you have a lifespan of 80 to 100 years.
Like, you start, like, at age 30 or something like that?
Yeah, 30, I think it was 33 for me, I can't remember.
Yeah, somewhere around.
And there. every turn is 3 months.
Yeah, one quarter, yeah. One business quarter.
So every time you take a turn, every four turns you're gonna age a year, and so before you're 80, because at this point you don't know if you're gonna live more than 80. You could live to 100, but you could die in anywhere in between those two ages, or in between 80 and 100. So, you know, you need to make sure you're able to, you know, transfer your consciousness to another body by that point. Mm-hmm. So, and I wasn't exactly focusing on the genetics. I was focusing more on the, what is it
called? Social media? Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you can play it any, you know, a lot of different ways.
Like, I'm sure you can, but I wonder how hard it is to beat the game in one lifespan. Yeah, like, just don't even go down a genetic route, just beat the game one lifespan. I wonder if that is... It has to be feasibly possible, but I wonder how good you have to be.
You have to know the game, all the ins and outs, man.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add about this game?
I enjoyed the game. I wasn't planning on enjoying it just because it was a strategy game. It's not really my type of game. There's been a few of them that I've liked. There was, Final Fantasy Tactics was definitely one of them.
Which is, it's a strategy game, but it's a completely different type. Because this is a management simulation game.
Yeah. And, well, actually, the other one's kind of a puzzle game, but not really a strategy. But, like, it's just, yeah, I mean, it's just strategy games aren't really my thing. But, you know, you told me to download and play this, so I was like, all right, fine, I'll give it a try. And I actually had a good time with it. So, I'm going to be looking at the Kickstarter for this thing.
Yeah, and again, this is a... say the name of the game real quick. Spinortality. That's SpinnorTality. I'll be posting a link to the Kickstarter on the Twitter, as well as putting it in the show notes, so you can check that either of those ways to get to the Kickstarter. The guy has a playable demo that we've been playing on the Kickstarter, so you can go in, check it out, play it, and stuff like that. It's 80% done. It's not, the Kickstarter is not, hey, I need a Kickstarter to make this game. It's, I'm making this game. If I can get this money, I can make it, I can finish it faster, because I don't have to worry about a job. But if not, I'm still going to make the game. It's just going to take me longer because I have to work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what this Kickstarter is, which I think is cool. I like when people that make games, especially games for Kickstarter, it's kind of like, hey, it's happening with or without you, but it happens a lot faster with you. And I like that. It's 80% done. You know, you feel comfortable back in this game. Honestly, this demo, if he put that out on Steam and said, all right, that's the game, it's done, whatever, I would not know that it was an incomplete project, because it's so polished.
It does feel like the actual game, so...
Yeah, like, I'm curious what that other 80% is.
I don't know where my restrictions were in this game. You know, it didn't feel like I had any restrictions. Like, the whole game was available to me.
Yeah, like, I'm at a point where I'm making steps towards choosing one of my end goal victory conditions. So like, I'm deciding which way I want to go and stuff like that. And so at no point have I gotten like a, thanks for playing the demo. but this is all being done by one guy. His name's James Patton, and he lives in Vienna. And I think he's gotten some help with the music and stuff like that. But he says, okay, he says pretty much a one-person project, apart from some music and a handful of assets. But everything you see is his own work. So he's the one developing the game and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, 80% done, and just helping him out with this Kickstarter just helps him get it done. And again, digital copy, you know, this game's coming out with Steam, Mac, and Linux. And for roughly $12 American, you can get yourself a copy of this game through the Kickstarter.
It's a pretty good price, man.
Yeah, and he's over halfway there. He's got 14 days left to go. Over halfway there. That's pretty good. I think most Kickstarters, that's almost a guaranteed thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And definitely check out the demo. I think you guys are going to like it. I mean, Jeff, this is not a game I expected Jeff to actually play.
It's true.
Like, it absolutely is not a game I expected Jeff to play, and to hear that he just got sucked into it like I did, that just goes to show, like, this game is fun, it's good, it's slick, the music's entertaining.
It feeds into that whole, I gotta have it kind of mentality.
Yeah, just one, like, just one more, just yeah. one more turn.
Like I want, you know, I can make more money than this. I can do this, you know, like, it's so frustrating, dude. it's a form of addiction, I guess. You know what I mean? Like to just all the time be like, all right, just one more. I just got to save the game. I got to find a save point.
Yeah,
you know, like that whole thing, you know, because I used to do that with my parents all the time. I'd be like, you know, my parents would be like, hey, we got to go. And I was like, okay, Mom, I just need to find a save point. And like, she wouldn't care. She wouldn't care about no save points, dude.
Yeah.
And then she's like, and you know, like 10 minutes later, you know, I found a save point. Hell yeah, I found one. Then use it. I'm going to keep going until I find a real save point. That one wasn't real at all. And so, like, she eventually would come in and actually turn off my system. But so I learned to say when I find a save point, I'm ready. I use the first point that I find, because
yeah.
Then I just lose everything.
I just love how the game just kind of makes you feel. It's both, like, cathartic and depressing at the same time. Because you're just, like, this giant evil corporation, like, oh, you don't want to sell genetics in your country? Well, let's see what my money can say about that. And then you sit there and you're like, oh, that is how the world works, isn't it?
Or you go and use a lot of children to mine the product that you need. Kill families in there. Man, it's crazy. I went to kill people.
I didn't,
stupid flower, dude.
I didn't even do that. I was like, I can't deal with this right now.
No, I had to kill people. They owed me.
But you really just kind of become sucked into it. And it's like, when I got to the point where I think I unlocked the ability to live to buy new bodies. Like at the end, at the 5-hour mark, and I just, like, out loud, I was like, I can live forever.
Now, I actually want to know what you named your company.
Encore Gamers.
Ah, damn it. Well, yeah, I thought you'd be a little more original than me. I named mine The Black Hole.
The Black Hole.
The Black Hole.
That's a good evil corporation, then.
That's what I thought, but I was like, it's just a play on my tag.
Yeah. I just love the fact that this
small... We did the same thing, dude.
A small little podcast that got started in a small little town somewhere is ruling the world in some alternate digital universe. There's some giant evil megalomaniac corporation.
Called the Black Hole.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm curious to see what happens when you get to the rivals, to see if that plays out differently for you, if they actually start getting any ground on you, because I've been brutal whenever that thing's come up. I'm like, it's gonna cost you. You're gonna lose like 147 million. I'm like, I only have 150 million. Like, I won't be able to do anything in this turn. Screw it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to pay that. I just wouldn't be able to do it. No money, dude. Not enough money. The most I got up to, I think, was like 80 million after I incurred the debt. So, yeah.
You'll get there, man. You'll get there. Your evil corporation will make it, too. Okay. I do want to back this on Kickstarter. I will say I have backed in the past month like 5 or 6 things. So I have to take a nice, long, hard look at my budget. But I do want to back it. And there's different pledges, too. Like, you can... There's pledges where you can write your own, like, fake news story that goes into the game. Where you can have, like, this silhouette of yourself go into the game. Something like that. Your avatar. You can create an avatar. You can be one of the companies, I think, that come up in the game. Let's see here. And name the credits. Yeah, here we go. That your name could be in the game as one of the emails that gets sent from your company.
Yeah, that's cool.
You could name a company in the game.
Jeff at theblackholesales.com.
Yeah, and you could choose a fake news. You can be your face. Yeah, you can have your face in the game. All these obviously at higher levels. And stuff like that. And definitely check it out. Like, even if you don't think this is going to be your type of game, play the demo. It's free. It'll get you in there quick. The tutorial is probably the best tutorial I've seen for this type of game. Like, it'll take you through it in a way that just makes sense, and the game is so well designed that you don't have to understand how everything works. It took me a while to kind of figure out the whole, like, stock system and changing laws and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And how that affects, and how to really start to manipulate that and stuff like that. I didn't even worry about that for the first, like, hour or two. And then I was like, wait a second, like, I have money, like, I'm gonna start playing with this. And like, oh wow, things are going a lot better for me now, stuff like that. But it's not a game that forces you to know how every single mechanic works out of the gate. And it's refreshing, I like that. Again, we'll see what the final game might be a lot harder to fit the mood for this type of game or something like that. But yeah. Definitely the demo is definitely at a good enough pace where it'll leave you feeling pretty good about the work you've done.
Yeah.
The horrible, horrible work.
Yeah, the game is Spin Mortality on Kickstarter. Check it out. Follow James and, you know, on Twitter or whatever. I don't know if he has Twitter.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't, though?
Yeah.
Check out his Kickstarter, though. Give him some cash. Check out the demo. You're going to like it. And let's get to that Unquirk Gamer's question of the week. I will say, we're trying to see if we can get an interview with this guy. We have different time zones, so it might be difficult. We might not be able to do it. But if we can, expect that to be a special extra release podcast of the week. Because I want to try to, if we can get that done, I want to get it done before his Kickstarter ends.
Yeah.
So it probably won't be part of the next episode because that'll be too close to the end of it. If we can get it done, it'll go out as soon as we get it done. But keep your eyes out for that if that happens. Let's get to that Uncorked Gamers question of the week. Question was, what are you thankful for? Our reply is from Billiam of Future Flix, who's actually on a plane out to Louisiana, I think.
What's in Louisiana?
The rest of the Somewhat Nerdy radio podcast network. Oh. Because he's going to do his first official live appearance, I believe, on the Watch Your Mouth podcast, which is a podcast where it's just like a talk podcast, but they swear, and when they swear, they have to donate money to a charity.
Okay.
I believe that's the one he's going to be on.
I'm a charity.
So anyway, Billiam writes in to say, I'm thankful for Black Friday, where I may buy a Vita or PlayStation VR should it go on sale.
Why? And it did.
And the
VR went on sale. I don't know VR about the Vita.
Definitely went on sale. I don't know if any store actually admits to having stock of the Vita at this point. Because if there's one for like $50, I'm picking it up and turning it into an emulation station. I'm saying it. I'm picking up an extra one so I can play my Super Nintendo on it. Because that's going to be a beautiful thing.
Sacrilegious, but okay.
You would do it too. Don't lie.
Sadly, I probably would. It just goes against my...
Dude, get an external battery pack and like a 5-inch screen, you can turn the Raspberry Pi portable little gaming station.
Yeah, you told me about that.
Yeah, a lot of people do it, because you just take your controller, you set it up right there, it's on your 5-inch screen, HD screen. They're pretty cheap, actually. You can get a pretty cheap one. Let me double-check the Facebook real quick. See if we got any responses in there. Alright, that's enough. No, you're done. I need a new phone.
But that song.
Alright, here we go. We got... What the hell? What are you doing, Facebook?
What is Facebook doing?
It was like, sent me to a link. Alright, we got the Lamberson writing in to say...
Oh, alright.
Eddie Guerrero... Hashtag...
The wrestler?
Latino World Order. That's what he's thankful for.
The wrestler?
I guess so.
Okay.
The LWO.
His hero, I suppose, yeah.
Eddie Guerrero. There you go.
Okay, well, me, besides being thankful for friends and family, I actually want to let it be known that I'm very thankful for my dog. Because my dog loves the shit out of me. He's just like, he's always waiting for me. He's always like, just happy to see me. And it makes you feel really good. You know what I mean? When you have something that just like, cares about you so much without, you know, unconditionally. Dude, he doesn't care what I do to him. When I kick him, you know, he comes back. You know, but, I don't actually kick my dog, Peta.
He's tearing up right now. All the coughing, he's trying to hide his crying.
But, yeah, like, I love the crap out of that dog, dude. And he loves the crap out of me. And, it's a good companionship. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I am actually gonna go out with a very sappy, generic one. But it's one that I've never actually said out loud before. And I'm thankful for friends and family.
Because you heard it here first.
Yeah, actually, yeah. This is the first time I've ever actually said that. I'm thankful for friends and family because, as you all know, all my friends in the podcast world and stuff like that, I, you know, fought a bit of a job issue right now, stuff like that, but I'm supported right now, you know? I'm not struggling, I'm not drowning, and I'm not becoming homeless. I got the support I need in my friends and family.
You started looking like a bum at one point, just so you know.
Well, yeah.
You have the look going, at least.
I may not get out of my PJs anymore, but... But I, you know, I don't have that hanging over my head right now. And that's thanks to my friends and family.
It's cool, man.
Thanks, guys. Aww.
So, what's the next question of the week?
Next question of the week, because of what's happening next week. It's what's your PlayStation experience prediction? Next week is going to be our PSX prediction episode, where we come up with a couple of predictions we think it might happen at PSX, things we might see or hear announced at PSX. And, you know, what do you guys think might be seen or heard of at PSX? We want to hear your guys' opinion on that. And also, on that topic, you know, not as part of the question, but on that topic, if there's anything, because after next episode, we're going to be at PSX. We're pretty much almost immediately going to PSX after we record that episode. So, if there's anything that has already been announced that you want us to check out, so we can let you know what's up and up, let us know. You know, reply to us on the Facebook, on the Twitter. Let us know what you guys want us to check out at PlayStation Experience. As long as there's not like a 3-day line, we'll try to do our best to check it out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening. Keep your eyes out on the feed to see if we can get that interview taken care of. And again, check out Spinortality on Kickstarter. See you guys next week to talk about PlayStation Experience.
Thanks for listening.